14 podcast presented by Sports Interaction, your homegrown sportsbook. Bet local today with Sports Interaction. And the Toronto Blue Jays won a series. But at what cost, Avery? At what cost? How are we feeling, Chenye?
Well, we know what cost it was, and that is two of the better games we've seen all season, followed up by a meltdown, a catastrophic loss, a disgusting way to go into your next series after you build genuine momentum.
Legit momentum. Like, this is what aggravates me, man. Could you imagine the vibes if they swept the Yankees off day tomorrow in San Diego, the most beautiful part in North America, the most beautiful part of the country in America? The vibes would have been insane. The team flight would have been, I would have loved to be a fly on the wall on that team flight. And they fuck it. And I guess I want to start with this game, Avery, before we break down the other games, because this is like the wound is still, it's fresh.
It is fresh. Fresh.
I have some thoughts. And the first thing that I wanted to say was, I think people will either agree with me or disagree with me on this. The calling up of Swanson to me was a head scratcher. And the calling up of Swanson and Romano together was a head scratcher. There was no rush to bring Swanson up. This is a guy who had two pauses in spring training. Obviously, with the incident with his son, thank God Toby is okay now, doing well, thank God. And also the injury. Swanee, the velo wasn't there when he was in AAA. I looked at the numbers. I saw the tweets. The velo wasn't there. And he wasn't really overperforming in AAA to where it's like, this guy is ready for the show. The Toronto Blue Jays were never in a position to need to rush Erik Swanson up. They were never. You have Nate Pearson, who is pitching very well, zero earned runs, carved the Yankees last time he pitched against them at Yankee Stadium, zero runs. And you DFA Mitch White. I'm fine with the Mitch White DFA. The Jays could have easily, and I know with hindsight 50-50, DFA'd Mitch White and brought up a Romano, let's say, right? And let Swanee get that velo back up, have a couple successful outings in AAA where he is looking like his old self, instead of rushing him and sending down a guy who has had success so far, a guy that we have craved to be good in the show. Nate Pearson, I can't believe I am begging for Nate Pearson to be in the show, Avery. But it is crazy to me that they rushed two guys to come up here. Swanee hasn't thrown since the 13th, I believe it was, and he wasn't that great in that appearance. The velo has been down, and that's something that he's heavily relied on. Throwing that guy to the Wolves against the Yankees in the ninth inning is bananas, Avery. It is absolutely bananas.
Yeah, so I can agree with a lot of what you're going to say. Nate Pearson, for sure. The business part of it, only so many people who are optionable. He had been fantastic. All you're saying, 100% true there. But the onus has to be on the players as well. Like, if Swanee tells the guys, hey, I'm good, what are they going to do, not believe him?
But the numbers are there, though, Ave, right? Like,
I would like to say a guy who's been in the bigs for a decent amount of time, both of those people, let's just say they can't get off the mat for a AAA game at noon on a Tuesday.
That's fine. I'm going to have to agree with you there. I really am. But here's another
thing,
though.
He might not have pitched on a Tuesday, but you...
Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. But say, hey, it's really early, different. Cold as fuck in Buffalo, probably. Like, we've seen what the weather's been like here recently.
Yeah.
Probably similar in Buffalo. So I think it's like, hey, I can't get off the mat right now, but it's like my adrenaline's not as pumping as it would be if I'm coming in.
Okay,
but
here's a counterpoint to that, Avery. Right now, the Toronto Blue Jays have two guys with options having the exact same role on the team. Explain to me how that makes sense. You have Yariel Rodriguez, who is a starter or a long guy, who hasn't really – he's going three innings when he starts. And you have Bowden Francis, who does the exact same thing but also has options. I do not understand wasting two spots, or I guess one spot, for people that do the exact same thing. Do you think this is benefiting Bowden Francis, having no fucking idea what he is doing, what his role is on the team? Put him back to AAA. Let him get his confidence back. Let him start there or long relief there instead of wasting a spot for the two of the exact same roles.
Yeah, because Yariel will be stretched out. So, like, as of right now, they're on about the same. I think Bound's probably ahead, right? Like, where they're at, building up, getting ready to go. So I think the whole thing with Bowden is I would probably have him in AAA as well to start. Like, hey, man, this isn't.
He has options.
Yeah. Optionable guy. His development is being kind of halted right where he's at right now. If we want to develop starting pitching, being the long man pitching once every 6 days isn't developing pitching. So
yeah, and maybe people are punching their steering wheel listening to me. I don't know. This might be an outlandish, idiotic take for me.
I would let you know when you say something like completely
like, because let us know in the comments if you guys agree with what I'm saying. I know people. I think, and by the way,
Johnny, I think the worst part about, because of how fresh it is, was Nate would have been perfect in the Swanee situation tonight.
Perfect. This is a guy who folded Aaron Judge last week in New York, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, hypothetically it was, or a week and a half ago. He's folded Aaron Judge. This guy, his confidence is at an all-time high. Nate Pearson, the promised pitcher we were waiting for forever, is now figuring it out, has all of his confidence, and you fucking send him down. It's crazy. It's crazy, Avery. It's absolutely insane. It's wild. And I'm not blaming Swanee for that appearance today. It's his first appearance of 2024. And by the way, the people in our comment section that are saying, be hard on Swanee, this is, you boys better give it to Swanee like he gave it to Simber. This is his first fucking appearance of 2024.
Yeah. You know,
like, grow up. All those people in the comments DMing me, your boy, oh, there goes your boy. Shut the fuck up. Yeah, this is his first appearance. This is a guy that was the reason why this team was in a playoff spot last year, was Erik Swanson. Yeah. And you're going to just fold and give up on him after one fucking appearance? Tell me to go at him like he's Adam Simber? What are we doing? Yeah, no, it's crazy, but...
He sucked today. That's,
yeah, he would be the first to tell you. He would text me.
Yeah. Like, no one wanted to see what happened on the field today. And it did not go well. And
maybe I'm overreacting because it's not like maybe the 24-hour rule. But no,
can you talk about what you put yourself into today? Because that was very, very, very funny.
Very bad situation.
Because you go start telling the story and I'll tell you.
So I was keeping track of Aaron Judge's at bats. And I love the troll tweet with the overuse of the emojis. It's the funniest thing on Twitter by 1,000. And I was updating the people on Aaron Judge's stats. 0 for 12, 7 strikeouts, all rise. Probably shouldn't have said that. And I was under the impression he wasn't going to hit again. And right when he sets up to the plate, I look at Avery and I go, oh no. Bases loaded, tie ball game. I knew that I was toast. I immediately muted the tweet. Right when he sets up to the plate, I muted the tweet. I have not seen it. I just saw it has 120,000 impressions and 188,200 replies. I've muted it. So unprecedented MLB tweeted it. And the rest is history. Great for followers, though. I got a lot of followers off of that.
Yeah, I bet. That was a tough one. It was like, maybe. That one was out of control. That was very funny today as well. That was your first time in the 100 level, the new one?
Yeah, first time there. It's okay.
Work from dome, man. Fucking cancel it.
Cancel it. Cancel work from dome. I can't do it.
You know what's happening is John Schneider's refusing to work, just like the people who are at the Rogers Center.
It's wild. But there's just so many things. And I know we can blame John Schneider. By the way, what a bonehead move to put Swanee there instead of put, like, flip-flop him and I don't know, wherever, like, anyone. It's crazy for the confidence as well. Now he's got to think about that. But, yeah, at some point you got to blame the offense, Avery. 0 for 8 runners in scoring position. Some of the worst at-bats with a chance to blow the game open. Terrible at-bats. It was a factor of things, and it sucks that it was the last game. I am now begging the Toronto Blue Jays to just lose the middle game. No more the last game of the series. I don't want to have to deal with the
heartbreak. First game, you get a 2-game win streak. I have something to declare.
Yes.
The 2024 Toronto Blue Jays are exactly the same as the 2023 Toronto Blue Jays.
Exact same.
And they're the same baseball team.
Yeah, it's the Spider-Man meme, right?
Four runs in a Major League Baseball game. Like, isn't that many, dude? Like, you need extraordinary pitching to win games where you only score four runs.
It would be nice, Avery, to win a game where it's like, let's put fucking Ernie on the mound. We're up 100. The Toronto Blue Jays have not scored over five runs since never, actually. Or sorry, the Rays series. The Rays series, the last time they scored over five runs. It is wild that every single game, Avery, is essentially, we need our bullpen to win this game.
No,
it is never easy.
Yeah,
yesterday
we need our
wasn't
bullpen
easy.
To be perfect, not just we need them. We need them.
And the starting pitching. Gossman gave up zero today, and he got a no decision.
He gave up one.
One, sorry. And he got a no decision.
Yeah, it's hard baseball to win. You tax guys when you're in high leverage every single time you come in. I think it's just the same baseball team.
Imagine Avery going through a series where you didn't need to use Romano once, or Swanee once, or Chad Green once, or Garcia once. I would do anything for that.
It would be super sick. But Chad Green today, he's like hurt now.
Yeah, they said he should be good for Friday, though. I heard that. I watched the press conference with Schneider. They said he should be good for Friday. But
yeah, so all in all, losing the last game of the series is such a deciding factor. And you're so right. I was thinking about how cool it would have been to be on that
flight. Oh, my God. This would have been the most electric pot. Like, it still is. I think we're snapping it around. But it would have been – we already had an episode named The Bronx Bums is what it was going to be called. It's just now we got to keep that back in the docket for when we face them in June.
Well, I think we've called an episode Bronx Bums before.
Yeah, we did a long time
ago. And I think
ago.
Every time you sweep the Yankees, it's going to be the Bronx
That was when we
Bums.
Swept them last year at Yankee Stadium or whatever it was.
We missed that. There were some good performances this week. Best performance, though, Noah Kahn Tuesday night, Scotiabank Arena.
Really? I could have found love there.
Dude, I was texting you, the ratio, it was like Ed Sheeran wasn't. Girls love that guy.
I love a good ratio. Yeah, I really do.
It was insane. It sucked to have to miss some of that game, but I was watching on my phone or watching in Scotiabank Arena as well. But good performance from Noah Kahn. Sounds just as good as on Spotify.
Maybe I would have found love. I don't know. But I sacrificed it for the solo stream. By the way, the solo stream, you motherfuckers showed up for that shit. That was crazy. We had like 180 in there at all times, 150. Got a little dicey there at the end, but great. Just unbelievable. I appreciate everyone showing up to that.
So,
let's go game by game here now.
How
Avery.
Do you? So you talk about getting dicey in game two. We can still do game by game, but the way they used Romano and Swanee.
But I will say, to play devil's advocate for there, hypothetically, they used Yimmy in a higher leverage spot than they used Romano, because Jimmy Garcia pitched against 1-2-3 and shoved in the eighth, right? And Romano went against a little bit of a softer part of that lineup. So I would be more mad if you went Romano in the eighth to kind of get his feet wet against the top of the lineup. But Romano looked bad. Did not look great. Both guys coming back from those rehab stints, which sucks as pitcher because you're used to routine. Romano gives up a hard hit single and then plunks Torres a pitch that wasn't even close, like legit looked like he threw at him. And then the single, it was bad, Ave. It was a bad one yesterday. I guess we'll go back to four. Let's talk about that game. It's good to get the win, but like we talked about, Avery, it was one of those wins where the Toronto Blue Jays have where you don't have any satisfaction with it because you're so disgusted in how it ended. I mean, they were up 5-1, and they almost lost that game.
It's, yes.
But we got to give our flowers to Justin Turner. I mean, this guy has been incredible. Jays have bases loaded. He is facing Rodon, who has looked decent, actually, for a pretty decent amount of start. Walk guys, get himself in a base low situation. And Justin Turner gets himself in a pitcher count. And he hits a sac fly to center when the count is against them. Scores the runner. Justin Turner has been probably the best hitter on this team. I mean, I saw our GM tweet the weighted runs created plus. I believe he's at 135. And Kevin Biggio is second or third behind him. But just incredible stuff from Justin Turner that game, man. Just really good at bats. I know it's a lefty, but he is really good.
Do you think, like, how good do you think a team would be if they all had Justin Turner at bats?
Oh my God. It would be the worst team to face. It would. The thing is, like, his at bats are just so, it's like, you have to throw him like five or six strikes to get, like, to strike him out or get him out, because he fouls off everything.
Do you think we trust Justin Turner so much because we haven't seen the PTSD of him failing in the situations like we seem to see everyone else when you watch 162 and you get 5 years of them every time?
I don't think so, because he has shown throughout his career. I mean, they showed the bases loaded stats. He's a career 350 hitter with bases loaded, right?
Yeah. And sac fly yesterday, got the job done. He just does the thing, man. He's kind of keeping this team afloat, and Dalton Varsho is right there with him as well.
Yeah. Like,
it's crazy what home runs do for you. If they, I don't know how I want to say this, like, you have to hit home runs to score a lot of runs. They go hand in hand. It's easier. You just fucking hit it out of the park and you score more runs than you do if you hit, and the chances of you hitting four singles in a row are pretty slim. Vladdy,
let's talk about, speaking about that, Avery, I wanted to talk about the, because we were hard on him. I don't think we were crazy hard on him, but the week of Dalton Varsho this week, man, what more could I, four home runs in a week, Avery, four. You talked about this. This is a guy that you said is going to hit for power this year, and this week he really, really hit for power. We were begging for this guy to be in the lineup. When the fuck has that ever happened, Avery?
Yeah, I think it was also because Kiermaier had struggled so much to this point. But Dalton Varsho is really good at pulling fly balls. He doesn't do the thing a lot where they're hit at the best angle to go for home runs. They get popped up a lot and hit fly balls. So the tail of the tape was there for Dalton Varsho to just hit balls out of the park. And today I thought he had four great at-bats, two of them for home runs, and then two were outs, right? He has it in him. It's why he was brought in. He hit 27 or 28 home runs the year before he got acquired. Like, the 20, yeah, I hope, is the outlier, but he seems to be putting it together. And as good as he's been, I don't want him moved up, like, to the four hole, like, at the start right now.
No. I don't think
six is the top of where I want him at for right now.
I don't think that'll happen. I don't think
he will get pitched differently based on what he's done. The home run against the lefty was the first he's hit since September 2022. But he's showing flashes as to why you gave up Gabriel Moreno for him.
By the way, Gabriel Moreno is on bum watch. He actually could not be having a worse start to a season right now, Gabriel Moreno. I believe he's hitting .205. But I did want to touch on the weighted runs created plus updated for the Toronto Blue Jays, because True RGM tweeted it. Our guy, Turner, 175 weighted runs created plus. Wow. Biggio, 136. Varsho, 122, third on the team. Vlad, 118. Davis Schneider, 112. It's looking promising for some of the guys that were really struggling, especially Varsho. But yeah, what a week for Dalton Varsho, man. Seriously, that catch he made yesterday, are you kidding me?
That's why he's the defensive replacement who also hits four home runs in a week. He's got a special skill set, man. And everyone was hard on him. The bats were ugly. It was, hey, throw Dalton up, he's going to swing through it. And once Twitter finds out how to get people out, it's tough for them not to hound on him every time. It's like, how do you not hit high fastballs? I don't know. The guy's throwing 99. I think we should get in there sometime and do that. But thank God for him, man. He needs the confidence. He's got to be an autoplay for a while now.
Yeah, I agree.
Think about, they brought in a lefty to face Dalton Varsho today.
And what did he do? Launched. But that's kind of what I wanted to touch off from today's game. The positives was Dalton Varsho looked truly great. He really did.
Well, what do you think Gausman thoughts today?
I like Gausman looked great. Didn't have it. He didn't have his best stuff.
But if you don't have your best stuff after two poor starts, what do you chalk that up to?
The fastball was there.
Gausman throws his fastball for strikes more than anyone in baseball. Like, that was his thing. He throws it in the zone a ton. Just seemed out more, seemed like a decent amount of slide. We were at the game, so you don't get the savant while we're there. It just looked a little off. It's like frustrated. He seems almost lost to himself. Everyone else here trusts him. So I think it's frustrating for everyone to watch right now, but the numbers were great. Like, that's a build off that. The Yankees, we didn't give up 5+ earned runs. We were really good today. So I think that's a building block for a vet.
Yeah. And the guys that only guys that really got a hit off him were like Soto, who that's what's Juan Soto.
Juan Soto is.
He's the best. He's the best hitter I've ever seen. Honestly, he really is.
It's not close, really.
And we were watching it. His at-bats are so good. Every single at-bat gets to 3-2, I feel. Every single at-bat.
Well, that's why the Yankees hate him, too. Do you remember that, was it WFAN? He was so mad at Juan Soto for taking a walk to get the bases loaded instead of searching for a single. That's just what Juan Soto is. It's how he is as a player. Like, you make Juan Soto more aggressive,
you take away a massive part of his game.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. So other than that, though, great. Gausman, clearly he didn't have his off speed stuff today, but his fastball was there. He was sitting 95, I think, 94.
Yeah, we got some velo back from him. So yeah, I was happy to see that.
Very happy to see that.
And
but
we got a glove color change, which was something I was hoping for. I love the baby blue one from last year. Again, fuck Fanatics for not having the jerseys.
Losers.
It makes me miss how much I like them, actually.
Yeah,
I think they're playing
hard to get.
I think I realized that I really like them wearing the baby blue.
Yes, I agree. But, yeah, other than that, though, not much to say besides that from today's game, but I wanted to talk about yesterday's. You, Cy Young. It's just, this guy is going to get paid this offseason, right?
Yeah, with what the starting pitching market has become, for sure he should get paid. Do you ask for an extension? Like, because I know we did this for Matt Chapman at the start of last season.
But Matt, yeah, that's true.
And it's, hey, are we...
But Yusei Kikuchi now has done it for a long period of time where I would be comfortable extending a guy. Matt Chapman was not good.
Matt Chapman isn't a bunt. Like, he had traits of a good Major League Baseball player, obviously.
Yes.
Like, re-signing Chapman in April last season wouldn't have been a bad idea for everyone who was watching that baseball.
Yes.
It was the best hitter on earth.
Okay, gun to your head, though. Which contract would you feel more comfortable giving? You say Kikuchi an extension now or Matt Chapman an extension in April? I would be on the Kikuchi train, probably.
Oh, yeah. With just how hard it is to get pitching and how many people have gone down, having a guy who's durable like him, I'd resign him. Like, what is he thinking? A 2-year deal for his next spot? Three? He's going to be he's 33 right now.
He's 32, 30, turning 33 this year.
Okay. So, fuck, man. Like, he wouldn't sign a 4-year deal somewhere, would he?
No, unless the team is willing to pay, but I would lock up Kikuchi. I personally would. I love his. Look at this stat line from yesterday. 6 innings, 4 hits, 9 punchies, one run, 1 walk. Just unbelievable, man.
And the run he gave up, Jano makes a catch that he's made 10 million times in his career and puts a tag on Stanton. Yeah, line looks a little different than before. I would love to have Kikuchi back, man. He loves being here, I think. Everyone loves him. When he went and got Y-Rod because all the starters watched the other starter warm up, it was like, yeah, they respect that guy. He's a leader. As much as all those guys are kind of vets who are in the starting rotation at this point,
yeah,
Kikuchi's a special guy. Lucky, very lucky to have him in Toronto, and really lucky to see the turnaround after year one.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I mean,
stuff.
It's two different baseball players.
Yeah, and taking a step back and looking at this series, you handed the Yankees their first series loss. That's a positive to take away. A team that is really hot coming into this series. You took 2 of 3 from them. It sucks because of the last game, but you took 2 of 3 from them at home and finished 6-3 at home, which is a very good record at home. But just the last
So wait,
games.
The three losses were extras to the Mariners.
Yeah.
Stomped on by the Rockies.
Yeah.
And then a backbreaking loss to the Yankees.
So tough three losses at home that are kind of elevated because of how crazy.
But like, I can't stop thinking about today's game. It's so fresh. You're going to lose games that you should win, and you're going to win games that you should lose. It's a baseball season.
And you can make the case they should have lost that game yesterday. They just stopped scoring after the sixth. Look, some bad at-bats, but
yeah, so it's going to happen. There's going to be a game they don't deserve to win that.
And yesterday, you could, yeah, like I said, yesterday's game, you can make the case. If you don't have that Schneider catch in left, which was unreal, and that Varsho catch, we're singing a whole new song here. The Jays lose 2 of 3, right? They won a game they shouldn't have won, and they lost a game that they should have won.
Exactly. We can't so be. That, in hindsight, it sucks, but we're here. Long season.
I mean, it's just that we're going to look back on that for a while, that game probably, because that sucks. But let's go into Monday's game. The Hound on the mound has turned it around, huh?
Thank God.
My God, what a bounce back. This entire rotation really turned it around. A couple guys that were struggling. I know Kikuchi's first start in Tampa Bay did not go as planned as he wanted to, but let's talk about this turn of the rotation. 28 innings pitched. 1.29 ERA, 33 strikeouts, 10 walks. That's a positive to build off of. This is the best rotation in the AL East, easily. It sucks because the offense isn't the best. Bottom five in a lot of categories. But this is a very good rotation, and it all starts with the vets like Chris Bassett, Kevin Gausman, Kikuchi. All of them are vets. But seeing guys turn this around like Chris Bassett, who, what a start he had. I mean, didn't have his best stuff again. 2 walks a little bit. 4 hits and 5 and 6 innings. Pitch count went up a little bit there. He looked incredible. Really good.
He was able to limit some damage in the second inning when they started getting on him as well. No, sorry. That's just what Chris Bassett does. It's like, hey, every pitcher's going to give up hits. Weave in and out, find a way to get people out here and there, and we're laughing. He's there to eat innings and do it very efficiently, and not give up a ton of runs. He's awesome, man. So it was, I think it's big for everyone. He called out some of the pitchers last week, and to call out other people, and then you step up and you have a great start. That's what leaders on a team do, right? Like, you can't come out, call people out, and then pitch like shit. And he did not do that. He pitched really well, man. The Yankees, because they stacked all 6 lefties in the lineup. And when you look at the splits from last season, it's same with Brios, kind of. It's like, okay, going to be really good against right-handers, struggle against lefties, but he was really good. Cutter, up and in, worked wonders. So, CB, man, great fucking start. Just keep building on that.
Yeah, and
I don't even remember a single offensive play from that game.
Kirk really showed up. He got the double. IKF walks, got the walk, but Kirk, that was kind of a, we were talking about it. Kirk actually looks a little bit decent, more decent at the plate. Way to run critical plus and not where I want it to be, obviously, but he's really turned it around.
Yeah, again, this is a 3-1 game, man. Holy, like, oh my God, Luis Gil too.
Oh my God. That was a game, I know, it. Like, that's what I'm talking about the games they win where it doesn't feel like they won. Luis Gil walked. The Yankees had 11 walks that game. They walked 11 guys, and the Toronto Blue Jays scored 3 runs. That is what I am talking about with not being able to step on teams' throats.
Oh, yeah, Kirk. IKF and Kirk get all the offense together.
Like, Toronto Blue Jays, Avery.
I need you to go runners in scoring position stats.
Okay. The Toronto Blue Jays were up 3-1 in the third inning, Avery. And they had to rely on 7 straight zeros from their bullpen and Chris Bassett to win that baseball game. 7, Avery.
Like, it happens to every team. You win low scoring games, but it's their MO. They don't score more than 5. Like, I would love to know the Jays' record in the last 2 seasons when they score more than 5 runs.
It's not good.
No, it should be good.
Right? Oh, it's good. Sorry. It's good. Sorry. The Toronto Blue Jays left 23 runners on base this series. That's not going to do it, man. That's not going to do it. It really isn't. They're somehow above 500. That's the positive part. It's just this offense is.
But
now, I know
now we
gonna...
don't. So last season we were just like, okay, it's going to positive regression for 2024. We'll go to the middle. And the team will be way better. But I'm starting to give up on the fact that the hitting is going to come out of nowhere and be fantastic.
No, it's again, not to be Johnny Negative, but we're going to have to understand that when we watch games, we are strictly watching games for run prevention. That's what this team is. It's run prevention. Really good defense, very good pitching, with an offense that would put up that scores three, four runs, maybe four or five if they're lucky. That's at the end of the day. I miss the days where Toronto Blue Jays would hit a home run and we'd be like, all right, whatever. This is what they always do. Those yeah. days are dead. Those days are gone. No one in this lineup, but I think Varsho is leading the team in home runs.
You what, four now?
Yeah. With four like home runs.
Yep.
And we're almost a month in. I guess we're 3 weeks in. It's not great. But that's where we're at now with this, Avery. It's we're relying on just run prevention. And it sucks, but it's Cleveland Guardians ball.
Yeah, the Guardians. I would love to know an outsider's thought on this team, because when we talk about it every single day, it's the same thing. And it's, yeah, you can't score. Great pitching. So maybe we'll have a chat with someone else to see what they think of the team, because I think Cleveland Guardians are like good baseball to watch. They're exciting guys who can hit kind of all around, the Naylor brothers. So yeah, I don't know, man. All in all, I said don't get swept. They did more than that. So I'm happy with it. Again, because we said the Seattle thing as well. Win the series, we're happy. And then we come on here to record. They just blew the worst game we'd ever seen. Cal Raleigh ruined everything. And it's a different tone. So take the step back. Won a series against what's the best team in the AL right now. Probably not named the Orioles. And we can be happy with that.
Yeah, and they go into this weekend against a team that is very hot, to say the least. Michael King today almost threw a no-no.
Thank God Michael King is not facing the Toronto Blue Jays, because if you guys remember what Michael King did to the Blue Jays down the stretch
30 strikeouts in two games, I believe, no?
Yeah, I might have set the strikeout record in two games, it felt like. Thank God we're not facing Michael King, but we get Matt Waldron, I think, Friday, which is
against Yariel.
And a knuckleballer, and that should be a lot of fun. I love the West Coast games.
Massive stream Friday, by the way, for the people. Massive stream for the people Friday. We got Waldron versus Yariel. Bassett versus, I'm actually not even really sure who's pitching that game, that Bassett one. Do you know?
I have no clue if they don't have it up on the score.
Let's see who they got.
Because what? Oh, Musgrove should be slated for that, right?
Yeah, Bassett, Musgrove Saturday. And then Sunday, it's Berríos versus, I'm not sure who he's facing, but favorable pitching matchups. Waldron is not
that
good.
That should have been Darvish's spot.
Yeah,
no?
they have to skip Darvish's spot. Favorable pitching matchups, Avery. Saturday is the Johnny Junta Bowl, Bassett versus Musgrove.
That'll be awesome to see.
The Johnny Junta Bowl. But other than that, I mean, let's go into series prediction. I think Varsho continues to stay hot. I really do. He is locked in. He's pulling the ball in the air, hitting doubles down the line. He looks awesome. It's great to see a guy who you know should be a good hitter, should be at least an above average league hitter, do what he does. And I don't know how you don't play Varsho all three games. I really don't. You're not facing a lefty.
Yeah, well, he hit a home run off a lefty. He hit a double off Rodon yesterday, did he not?
Yeah.
The platoon thing should go away for right now. I mean, who would the only lefty be in the Royals? Like Reagans, maybe he'd face. Tough matchup for any lefty. So he should have a run of games here where he plays a lot.
Yeah, and the Padres look great. They to say they look great actually would probably be an understatement. They went into Milwaukee. They took 2 of 3. They took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers, 2 of 3 from the Cubs, and then they lost the series to the Giants. Like, this team is coming in equally as hot.
The Padres feel like the Blue Jays of the NL to me.
Yes, but a little bit better offense. But they lost 1-0 today, just to make a thing. Michael King won 7 innings, scoreless, 2 hits, and he got a no decision. So we got the battle of the mid-offense bowl, but as a baseball fan, it is going to be cool to watch the Tees play. I'll say it. It's cool to watch the Tees play. This lineup from top to bottom, 1 to 5 is very good. Bottom of the lineup's a little bit whatever. Jackson Merrill's good, but The Jays, I'm predicting the Jays take 2 or 3 again.
Okay, I'll go. I think they win the series. I don't think it's a hot take just to think they win the series here.
Okay.
What? On to Kansas City. Watching the games in San Diego will be cool. Just like watching the Jays play at Dodger Stadium was cool, even if it was on TV. It's nice. It's really nice to change things up.
Some weird game times for the series, too. They got 9:10, I believe, Friday.
I thought it was 9:40.
9:40 Friday, 8:40 Saturday. So they're going to be going toe-to-toe with the Leafs playoff game. And then Sunday at 4:10. And then obviously they travel to Kansas City and gain 3 hours, which is going to suck. Or gain 2 hours because they're two hours behind.
Pacific to Central, yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, though, let's have ourselves a weekend. We got playoff hockey this weekend for those hockey fans out there that enjoy. But a lot of positives to take from this series, and of course, a lot of negatives. But hopefully you guys enjoy this podcast again. Thank you very much for the support. It's been wild, the reception at games and the numbers and stuff. So we appreciate you guys. We love you guys. Merch update. We're just waiting for Avery to get our banking card so we can put it on the website. So we cut the middleman and it's easier for us than just me taking the payments. But merch should be good for next week. I promise. You have my Johnny Pizza guarantee. Love you guys. Any last words, Avery?
No. Love you guys.
Let's have ourselves a weekend, guys. Love you guys.